Welcome to the Bruce Siski Show. Follow the Bruce Siski Show on Twitter to interact anytime. Got something on your mind? You can text Bruce during the show by using the short code 84454. You're listening to the Bruce Siski Show on 610 and FM 103.9 KDAL.
10:13 on this Tuesday morning, 26th of March, 2024. Bruce Siski Show on KDAL. We'll update road conditions and radar with the snow continuing heavy at times downtown Duluth. It was much worse about an hour ago than it is right now, but it's still coming down pretty hard, and we've gotten quite a bit here this morning as we're hoping to get the storm wrapped up here this afternoon. Storm warning, a winter storm warning in effect till 7 p.m. for the Twin Ports. More on that in a little bit. Well, first, you know, you look outside and you see all the snow falling. And I know about you. First thing pops into my head is baseball. First thing. Opening day is Thursday. Twins open in Kansas City. And we'll talk some Twins now. Our friend from the Locked On Twins podcast and Access Twins is Brandon Warren. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are we doing?
We're snowy. How are you?
About the same, yeah. A lot of that going on here. Maybe not to the same extent, but certainly for it being spring break, it's nice to not have to get out and drive to school and that sort of thing.
Yeah, we've had a lot of that here, too. A lot of schools that would normally be calling in, hey, we're closed today. They're not even open this week because they're on break. So the timing, the kids are like, damn it, I wanted more days off. But it is what it is. You can't control these things. Excitement level for you as opening day approaches on Thursday?
Probably a good, like, 8 or 9. You know, I know that there's some things going on injury-wise, and that's always going to be the case, and it seems to be even more so true with the Twins. But I think they're in a good place. You know, not being in Minnesota means they're in a good place, too, based on the weather. But heading to Kansas City, you know, it's a Kansas City team that is rebounding, but I still don't think it's quite there yet. So good chance for the Twins to start the season off hot and hopefully go from there. But they've got everything lined up the way they want it with the rotation. Certainly not great that Desclafani's hurt, but Louis Varland is a more than capable number five starter. And the offense looks balanced and strong. It has not been great this spring, though, so I will be watching for how that kind of bleeds into the season because, you know, we all kind of agree that spring training stats need to be taken with a grain of salt. But sometimes where there's smoke, there's fire.
Brandon, let's start with the rotation. And Anthony DeSclafani, at this point, we think there's a good chance he misses the entire season. And, you know, I don't want to get into the payroll stuff. We talked about that before, and I think it's just a tired topic. None of us are going to change the reality of what the franchise is dealing with right now. So at some point you have to accept that this is what it is, and it's not going to be any different. But, you know, they spent $4 million on DeSclafani, and he was damaged goods. We knew he had injury issues. He missed 2 months last season with an elbow issue. So the fact he's got an elbow issue now that might cost him the season, it's not all that shocking. To me, it's a little different than a Tyler Mahle who was acquired healthy and then got hurt. That stuff happens, and I can't blame a front office for that. I am a little irritated that the Twins had very limited funds to spend on starting pitching and chose to spend it on a guy that had a bad elbow.
Well, and the point for me, I guess, is that for $4 million, in the free agent market, there was like 7 or 8 guys who signed, and none of them were anywhere near household names, or at least not in this stage of their career. And if that's what it costs for the Twins to get a global top 100 prospect in Gabriel Gonzalez in the Jorge Polanco trade, I think they kind of just made the decision that they were going to eat $4 million, and if Desclafani gave them anything, they would take it. But with that said, yeah, it's a little different too in that he was kind of like the third or fourth piece in that trade. But again, it certainly doesn't. But when you look at the track record, there is, you know, certainly enough to make you kind of perk your ears up a little bit. But at the money and the potential for him to have been at least decent because he was good a few years ago, I mean, I kind of get it. But yeah, I mean, I also understand the angst about it because they've had all offseason to add pitching, and that's kind of what they did was just that. So within their constraints, yeah, $4 million makes sense to that guy. But if you were gonna use $4 million on any pitcher, you know, Michael Lorenzen signed real late for about that much. You know, that would have been an idea as well.
He's not a rock star, Michael Arenzen. Boy, I saw that number 4.5. I'm like, that made me think a little bit. I'm like, well, you could have used that money on Michael Arenzen and you'd be in a better place. And I guess my concern, Brandon, more is the fact I don't necessarily see Louis Varland as a starting pitcher. And maybe I'm wrong with that. It's based on what I've seen and how he uses his pitches. I don't think right now he's a guy that should be counted on even as a fifth starter. I'm not sure that's the best use of Louis Varland right now as he continues to develop, but maybe I'm wrong.
A lot of it's going to come down to team need in the moment. I mean, sometimes a guy with a starter with a 4 or 5 ERA gives you more season-over-season value than an ERA or a reliever with an ERA of like 3. And, you know, that's the kind of swelling you'll see for someone throwing starter innings versus relief innings. And they've built their bullpen to hopefully not need Varland in that regard. But, yeah, if all things were the same, the way he was throwing the heck out of the ball last fall out of the bullpen, I mean, I think that's his preferred role. He could be a premier reliever, whereas could he be a league average starter or thereabouts? Yeah, probably. But, again, that's, you know, it comes down to what do the Twins need in this moment, and they've kind of painted themselves into this box, and that's where I think it's most problematic because, you know, there were lots of pitchers available that the Twins could have gone after. There still is one in Jordan Montgomery, but for whatever reason, they're just not doing it. And again, I know we've talked about the financials and the TV deal and everything, but they got a TV deal that was, I think, 75-80% of what they were hoping for before. And yet that money in the payroll has still remained unspent. So it's kind of hard to really be too cool with how things have played out.
Brandon Warren, our guest, Locked On Twins podcast, Access Twins as well. And the other reason I'm concerned here with this rotation is you already have damaged goods that you're counting on a lot from, and that's Chris Paddock. And I know he's looked fine in the spring. As far as we know, there's no issue. He's going into the season healthy, but he's a guy who's had Tommy John twice. And I feel like this is, it's a situation where, almost like with Kenta Maeda, last year and the year before, when he was making his way back, you're going to have to be really careful with Chris Paddock, and you have to be really careful with Louis Varland for different reasons. So now the back end of the rotation, to me, there's a lot of questions. How you're going to get the innings that you need, right?
Yeah, and risk mitigation is the name of the game, and when it's that with pitching, it's basically setting yourself up to fail because pitchers get hurt. You know, we've seen one of the recent reports I saw was over 100 pitchers are going to start the season on the injured list. And so Is that high? Is that low? Based on context, it's about right. But we've normalized ourselves to the idea that 3 or 4 pitchers on each team will be on the injured list when the season starts. And, like, that's a little concerning. So anytime that that's kind of what you're dabbling in, it does leave you open for some big issues. And, again, you know, Simeon Woods Richardson is a perfectly logical, reasonable number 6 starter, but you don't know where he's at. You know, he's a big-time prospect who had a couple tough years, and then you've got a few other guys. You know, do you ever bring Randy Dobnak back? There's a lot of question marks that, you know, teams have to answer those no matter what, but you can push those off by having more depth, and I feel like they took that approach with the bullpen rather than the rotation, and we're about to see if it'll pay off.
And that's the next thing is, you know, first off, before we get to the bullpen, the top end of the rotation, let's be honest, Pablo Lopez, no issues there. I'm not concerned. In fact, I took him from my fantasy team. I'm all set. I'm all on the Pablo Lopez train for 2024. They're strong at the top of the rotation. You know, Bailey Ober is going to, I think, be a little less restrictions on him as he continues to gain experience as well. The Twins, to me, at the top are just fine.
Yeah, they'll be okay. And again, I think we talked about this on the podcast most recently, that maybe there is some wisdom in not trying to attack needs right now and letting those needs become more clear in the season, so that when you cash in your chips, whether it's trades, whether it's money or some combination of the two, that you have a clearer picture of what you actually need. Because if you trade for a starter now and you find out that you need, you know, 2 relievers and an outfielder or something, you're going to want to be able to make those moves when they become evident rather than trying to forecast what your needs are going to be. So, like, if there is any sort of wisdom in not doing anything right now, it's just that you can wait for the picture to become more clear. It's kind of like you let it stop snowing before you plow because you might make a mistake. Now, again, that's not a perfect metaphor because you should always be clearing snow off the roads. But I think we've definitely seen that happen in the past.
All right, Brandon Warren, Access Twins, Locked On Twins podcast. Let's talk about this bullpen. And I know, you know, Joan Duran's going to miss some time here. Caleb Thielbar is going to miss some time. You know, it looks like Justin Tope is going to miss some time here off the outset of the season as well. It's not like this bullpen is devoid of injury concern, but this bullpen, it looks like Brandon has the depth to overcome a lot of that.
And bullpen depth is hard to build because you've got option years and you've got 40-man stuff. But they've got, you know, four or five guys with big league experience who are non-roster invitees. Jeff Brigham, Matt Bowman, Daniel Duarte. So those guys are all not guys you have to worry about dropping in the middle of the pool and they've never swam before. You know, maybe they haven't thrown the eighth inning when it's a one-run game. But you're not going to have, like, the deer in the headlights look that you might have from, let's say, a Rule 5 pick, like when J.R. Graham hit Alex Rios with that pitch on the wrist back in, like, 2015. Like, you always have to have that concern of if a guy can acquit himself. And the guys that they have not on the roster have that experience, in addition to what has been a pretty deep bullpen build coming into spring training. Now, with that said, Thielbar with a hamstring, that's the kind of injury that's tricky. Duran with an oblique, also tricky injuries where you can feel better and aggravated and then your recovery time is even longer yet. So they're going to have to be very, very careful and, again, mitigate risk versus reward with how long you let these guys rest up and what their rehab looks like and how quickly you get them back.
The lineup, Byron Buxton is back. He says he's playing center field. I've got to think Twins fans are going to hold their breath every time that he comes close to running into the wall, every time he dives for a ball, every time he slides into a base, every time a pitch comes close to hitting him. But reality is, from what I've seen and from what I've read, Brandon, Byron looks and feels as good as he's felt in a long time, and it seems like he's in a better position, a better place this year to make an impact and hopefully stay healthy.
Yeah, I mean, it's as optimistic as you can be, and if things go well, the Twins have three MVP candidates on offense and maybe one on the rotation with Pablo. We were looking in the podcast in 2006, the Twins had three top seven finishers in MVP voting. And like, it's not unreasonable to think that could come from the offense this time. Now that time they had Johan Santana, and Pablo Lopez is, you know, he's their version of Santana right now. But yeah, I think the high end talent in the offense gives them a chance to be really special, but also the depth, because, you know, every time you think of all the players on the offense that can, you know, carry you for a while, you inevitably forget someone. Ryan Jeffers can get hot for a while. Edouard Julien, Alex Kirilloff. They're not only, you know, strong top end wise, but they've got enough depth to weather the storms that are, pun intended, I guess, coming with a baseball season. And, you know, guys like Jose Miranda, who's had big league success, will be at St. Paul. Trevor Larnach, you know, a few other guys who, again, you'll call on them, but they've been there. They know what to expect. They're not going to be shocked if they get dropped into, you know, the number six or seven spot in the lineup in a big game. They're prepared.
If Buxton can stay relatively close to healthy and Carlos Correa can stay healthy, what can that mean for this team offensively as they continue to cultivate these young guys around them?
They'll win 95 games if those guys stay healthy. Like, there's no denying the team is the class of the division, and they're just deeper. I mean, even if you like the Royals, if the Royals have two injuries on offense, they go from, hey, they're going to be a fun, you know, little engine that could, to, holy smokes, now they're basically the Omaha Royals. It can get ugly pretty fast. The Twins have a little more of that, but they've also have players who've kind of forced them into that pattern. So how that all comes out, you know, is going to be worth watching, and that's why we get to watch 162 of them. But again, the Twins are just set up, even with their injury risks, to be a very, very good team. Last year, Correa dealt with the foot, wasn't very good. Buxton never played center, wasn't great. Season ended early. And then Royce Lewis, they only got a half year of because he was coming back from the ACL. So if those guys are all healthy, the sky is the limit. It really is.
Any concerns, talking to Brandon Warren, a couple more here, any concerns about full-time Eddie Julien at second base? It doesn't seem like maybe necessarily he's the best defensive second baseman, but you're going to put up with some warts when you got a guy that can get on base the way he does and hit for power the way he does.
Yeah, and I think he's coming along. We saw some of the data as far as like how much better he got as the season went on last year was encouraging. And again, short sample fielding data is not that stable. So it was more of an eye test thing as well, where, you know, he seemed to be better at pivoting and throwing and picking up the ball. I mean, all the basic tenets of playing second base. And so basically he'll get a year to show what he can do, and if it doesn't work, he'll be a DH or a first baseman, because, you know, they'll have Brooks Lee coming through and they'll have to settle where everyone else is going to play regularly between Lewis and Correa. They're going to have enough help in the infield regardless of if Eddie Julian can stay at second base, but he's got a nice opportunity now. And again, top of the order with like a 400 on base percentage should still give them plenty of value, even if he kicks the ground ball every now and then.
These things always tend to solve themselves, as you know. As anybody who watches sports knows, when you've got a guy, you know, whether it's an injured player coming back or it's a top prospect who's on the verge of making it to the next level, these things always tend to solve themselves. But let's try to lay this out as if it might not solve itself. Brooks Lee mashes in St. Paul. Royce Lewis stays healthy and mashes. Carlos Correa stays healthy. Eddie Julian doesn't embarrass himself at second base. And the Twins don't necessarily have a position for Brooks Lee. What do they do with him? Because if he's deserving of a call-up, they've shown he'll get a call-up.
I think he comes up and they either try to force feed him left field, which again we know is not the greatest idea, or he plays second and Eddie Julian DHs and they kind of mix and match just to see. Because the offensive talent that Lee possesses is going to be too good to deny. Obviously, he doesn't have as much upper-level success as some guys who make their mark in the big leagues have. You know, his time at AAA was not as good as other places, but, you know, he's scorched pretty much everywhere he's been, and there's no reason to expect he won't moving forward here at St. Paul. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be tricky, but the nice thing is with Buxton in center field, the DH spot is a lot more fluid, as far as, you know, you're not in your Nelson Cruz era where he is the DH and nobody right. else can play there. So they do have some options. And again, I think too, you know, if it comes down to it, you could trade him for a really good starting pitcher. So there's going to be lots of options here in the next few months.
Finally, for Brandon Warren, I've yet to see anything from you on anything I read and listen and all that indicates you don't think the Twins are going to win the AL Central. You got them winning the division, right?
Yeah, I think they're going to run away with it.
All right.
It's just they're head and shoulders above everybody.
So who gives them the biggest potential problem in the division?
Detroit. I think their build, the way they're building, is scarier than anybody else. I like top of their rotation with Tarik Skubal. Casey Mize looks like he's throwing it again. You know, this is a guy who was a top overall pick. And Kenta Maeda is a back-end starter, certainly a nice little move there. And their offense has got a bunch of guys who are interesting. You know, they got Riley Green, who could be a superstar. Spencer Torkelson took a big stride in the second half. I just think they're building towards something faster than anybody else in the division besides the Twins.
Very good. Where can people find you?
Locked on Twins on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Enjoy.
Be good.
All right, Brandon Warren, Access Twins, Locked on Twins podcast. Always a fun guest to have on the radio show talking some baseball. I know it's snowing, but opening day's Thursday. Our coverage on Thursday, 2:30 from Kansas City. First pitch, 3 o'clock, as the Twins send Pablo Lopez out for opening day against the Royals. Coming up on 10:31, Bruce Siskey Show continues. Mike Grimm standing by for a Gopher update on KDAL.
This is the Golden Gopher Daily Update. I'm Mike Grimm. We'll talk Minnesota hockey after this.
How much can you save when you shop Cub? Let's just say you might need a bigger cart. We've lowered prices so you save more. On Essential Every Day, it's easy to see the savings. Across the aisles, from pantry products to frozen foods to delicious dairy and more. Your family will love it, guaranteed. Or your money back. Shop Cub and save today. My Cub, my way. See store for details.
The 7th-ranked Golden Gopher men's hockey team opens NCAA tournament play on Thursday night in Sioux Falls, taking on Omaha at 7:30. Minnesota head coach Bob Motzko spoke with Wally Shaver about that on last night's Gopher Hockey Weekly show on the Gopher Radio Network and discussed how the bracket played out.
The most important thing is the Golden Gophers are in. And what a weird, we're the only Minnesota team in. And when's the last time that happened?
Boy, it's been
usually
a while.
We have at least 3 Minnesota teams in the tournament. If not, we had 4 and 5.
Yeah, yeah.
And And so we're the lone survivor this year out of the state.
I thought Bemidji might get in. They must have had a very interesting game against Michigan Tech for their championship. The winner of that game got to go, and it happened to be Tech.
Heartbreaking because Tom Ceratori, one of my best friends in the world, had such a terrific season. Hottest team in the country. I don't think they had a loss in 14 games at home. Sold out building. Their fans just came out of the woodwork, and they just lose a heartbreaker to Tech two to one in college sports, so Tech is the team that gets into the tournament. But what a terrific season for Bemidji State.
That's Gopher coach Bob Motzko. For more info on Thursday night's game, go to gophersports.com. That's the Golden Gopher Daily Update. I'm Mike Grimm.
KDAL.
That's pretty much my news.
Streaming live on the KDAL mobile app.
More to come here on this Tuesday. We'll update the roads. We'll update the weather. It ain't good right now, I can tell you that. Looking outside. Heavy snow continues from our vantage point downtown Duluth. We'll get you the latest information on this winter storm as we come back after a CBS News update, 1037 on KDAL.
The Bruce Siski Show.
I have never heard someone say so many wrong things, one after the other, consecutively in a row.
On 610 and FM 103.9, KDAL.
1042. Tomorrow, Dave Starman, CBS Sports Network. We will break down the NCHC teams, the four of them that made the NCAA tournament. Those would be North Dakota, Omaha, Denver, and Western Michigan. We cannot have the all-NCHC Frozen Four this year simply because Western Michigan and North Dakota are playing in the same region. Yeah, it is what it is. What are you going to do? Can't control that stuff. But we'll break down those four teams and their chances as we look forward to Thursday and the start of the tournament. And then Thursday we do go live to Sioux Falls. Site of the, well, aptly named Sioux Falls Regional, Jess Myers of therinklive.com is covering Gopher hockey there, and we will get his thoughts on the Gophers versus Omaha in the second of the regional semifinals on Thursday at the Denny Sanford Premier Center in Sioux Falls. Meanwhile, the weather ain't good. I'm just going to say that. Heavy snow continues to make its way through the area. It just does not look like it's moving a ton, because it isn't. And we've seen some moderate to heavy snow here in the Twin Ports. It looks like that's going to continue into the afternoon hours. Very treacherous roads, both in Minnesota and in Wisconsin. Give the plow drivers plenty of space. Make sure that you give yourself plenty of space between yourself and the vehicle next to you. Very happy to report, at least on the Minnesota side, I don't see a lot of accidents. Just one reported on the 511 app right now in the area, and that is in that Midway Road area on I-35 northbound. There's a spun-out vehicle northbound about 4 miles south of Proctor. So that's one to keep in mind if you're out heading that direction. The Midway Road's always treacherous, even in the summer it feels like. So not shocked that there's something going on there. I'm kind of zooming out here and trying to find another incident report. I'm not seeing any, so that's good news at least. People are staying home or they're minding themselves, and so far I've been fortunate. But you can check out the plow cameras and the fixed traffic cameras as well by going to 511mn.org or 511wy.gov in Wisconsin. Quickly before we make our way to the prep update and wrap things up on this Tuesday morning, the Vikings yesterday, GM Kwesi Adofo-Mensa, head coach Kevin O'Connell at the meetings in Orlando talking about, amongst other things, the situation with wide receiver Justin Jefferson. Of course, the team and Jefferson tried to get a deal done before last season. The talks broke down the day before the season started. They decided that we'll revisit it later. He had 2 years left on his rookie deal, so it wasn't a big deal to get something done last year. But as we said last year, these things never get cheaper. With young star players, these types of contracts do not, and frankly, even veteran players, when you know you're going to, in a world like this in the NFL where the salary cap is going to go up, those contracts don't get cheaper. So the longer you wait, the more it's going to cost you, the more money Justin Jefferson's going to make, and he should. He make all the money. He should get paid more money than any non-quarterback in the NFL because that's how impactful, that's how good he is. He should set the market at his position. But will it be with the Vikings? Because the longer this goes, the more you want to wonder. Your brain wanders and you think. At what point can the Vikings safely say, we've got this guy in the fold long term, without having him in the fold long term? You don't want to walk a guy like this to free agency. And the franchise tag would eventually potentially do that. You don't know, you don't want to risk that. You have to, if you're going to put a franchise tag on a player, you have to trust your relationship with that player. Or you understand that this is a 1 year, you know, binding him to us for one more year and then he's going to walk. And we're not going to get anything for him. That's the risk. So if you're the Vikings, how long can you let this thing go? Because number one, it's not going to get cheaper. Number two, Justin Jefferson holds all the cards here. If he doesn't like the direction you're going at the quarterback position, he doesn't have to sign a contract. And then the Vikings have to make the decision. Do we risk this? Do we risk that he's going to like the new guy, that he's going to get along with the new guy, that he's going to enjoy playing with the new guy, or do we have to find a way to move on? That's the risk that the Vikings take. I think they're going to get something done this summer. It makes too much sense for it not to happen. And I've Matthew Collin and I have talked about this before. This guy's the best in the world at what he does. You don't let this guy go. This is the guy. I know it's tough because this is a quarterback league, but this is the guy you build everything else around. He makes your quarterback better. There's a reason why the Vikings were still a relatively potent passing offense without Kirk Cousins, especially once Jefferson came back. He is the kind of guy that makes the people around him better. He makes whoever the quarterback ends up being, whether it be Sam Darnold or Drake May or Jaden Daniels or J.J. McCarthy or Bo Nix or whoever of the Vikings end up picking, he makes that quarterback better. He makes Jordan Addison better. He makes Brandon Powell better. He makes T.J. Hockenson better. All those guys are better players. Being on the same, he'll make Aaron Jones better. Davante Adams made Aaron Jones better. It's the same effect, only perhaps even greater, because I think Justin Jefferson has proven himself better than Davante Adams. The Packers also dealing with a contract situation, but theirs is less urgent. GM Brian Gutekunst, speaking in Orlando yesterday, told Matt Schneidman of The Athletic and others that they have had preliminary discussions with Jordan Love on a contract extension. Love's first year as a starter, you could not have reasonably asked it to have gone any better than it did. 32 touchdown passes, got better as the season went on. The offense became more and more potent as the season went on. And the Packers made the playoffs, won a game in the playoffs, and probably should have won a second one if maybe some of the hauntings of October it didn't come back to bite Jordan Love at a bad time. But there's enough there that you think you know what you have now, which is something the Packers couldn't necessarily say before. Your practice can only tell you so much. But I think now they've got a better idea what they have, and he's going to get himself relatively handsomely paid here in this offseason. The lack of urgency is not so much the fact that Love is under contract next season, because you don't want this guy going into his walk year. It's more the fact that Jordan Love redid his contract with the Packers on May 3rd of last year. Therefore, he cannot do a new deal with the Packers of any kind until at least May 3rd of this year. That's just the way it works in the NFL in terms of those rules on contracts. But we'll learn more here in the coming 6 weeks or so on Jordan Love's future in Green Bay. One more note, the Wild set to sign the ex-Grand Rapids Thunderhawk, Mr. Hockey, in 2021. Jack Peart, defenseman out of St. Cloud State, looks like he'll get a 3-year entry-level deal and sign an ATO to start his pro career here very soon with the Iowa Wild of the AHL after a 3-year run at St. Cloud State. 10:50, Ryan Phelps standing by. Rep update. Wrap things up on a snowy Tuesday morning. Bruce Siski Show, 610 FM 103.9 KDAL.
AM 610 KDAL. News, weather, sports.
10:59. Take it easy outside. If you are out and about, give yourself some breaks. If you're moving snow, we're back at it tomorrow. Dave Starman. CBS Sports Network will look at the NCHC teams that made the NCAA tournament. Back tomorrow at 10. Have a great day. Thank you for listening.
This has been the Bruce Siski Show. Hit us up on Twitter at Bruce Siski Show and let us know what you think.
No. Yes. No. Well, no, I crossed my mind.
Visit KDAL610.com to podcast today's show anytime.
What'd you say?
Listen to shows on demand and download for free. You can also subscribe via Spotify or your favorite podcast app. This has been the Bruce Siski Show. CBS News is up next. For more than 80 years, KDAL 103.9, W28 FBFM, and 610 KDAL Duluth Superior, a Midwest communication station. KDAL.